You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with photographer, musician, philanthropist, and author of Life's Fragile Moments, Julian Lennon. This podcast is supported by the Yamashevsky Foundation.
I'd wanted to do a photography book for quite some time now with various collections. When I started doing collections of Cuba or New York or this other location, there were anywhere from 20, 30, 40 to 50 images within these collections, because I believed that's what you needed to be able to tell the story. But with the retrospective, which the book actually became, really, I had to find a way to tell the same story with 4 images or 8 images as opposed to 40 or 50 images. It really, really was coming down to that point of editing within an inch of each photograph's life to be able to express what you wanted to express from 40 images down to 4 images. But it really allowed me to consider thinking about things in the future, about how I'm going to put collections together or even do work projects that, okay, I don't need 50 images. If I can tell that same story in just a few pictures, then that's something that's really crucial. It's quite interesting to see what people take away from certain images as opposed to what you're trying to express. And that's the thing for me that is not dissimilar to music. You know, for me, I just want to do the work, what feels right to me, and put it out into the world. It can depend on the person's mind and their heart and how they're feeling that day or what mood they're in. I think everybody has their own truth. I've only just learned that myself, that, you know, I keep thinking, well, why don't people see what I see? Because their truth is different from mine. And that's a weird one to really grasp. In so many respects, we're all the same, but we're so different, which I find fascinating. Timothy White, he was the one that kind of pushed me to do my first ever exhibition. For 3 days before the opening, I was beyond a state of panic and anxiety and depression. I mean, really. So I was overjoyed, obviously, when the exhibition finally opened and we had some of the reviews back, which for me were mind-blowing. I couldn't believe that I was being considered a fine art photographer. And I went, wow, okay. So that, it, you know, having that initial encouragement from both sides really, really made a difference. Mark Spiro, an old friend for over 20, 30 years, who has been one of my songwriting collaborators, who sadly passed away earlier this year. We were all hoping he was going to pull through. He was a very special guy, a very, very close friend. And I wanted to honor him and those people that have affected me in a particular way and a deep, deep emotional way. And not only because of our friendship, but because of our collaborative efforts and work over the years. And so that was important to involve that, to show that it's about the work, but it's about the people who are involved that surround you in life during and through the work that you do in life. This is a human endeavor. Yeah, I think it's about trying to share the things that you enjoy about those locations. I've really enjoyed those emails from people that can't travel, whether it's financial or whether it's because of a physical disability, that say, thank you for taking us to those places and that we enjoy your perspective of those places. To me, I find that amazing. You know, that's so special and so heartwarming to be able to do that. I mean, initially, when I was doing all of this traveling and taking photographs, I just wasn't thinking like that. But later in life, you get to understand things a little more. You become a little wiser. And hearing things like that also now affects, again, to a little degree, how or why I would take a photograph, in that I want to show you where I am or express how I feel where I am by what you're seeing, or how you're seeing it. That came from when I first realized that in photography, it's all about perspective. The reason I mention that is because with the U2 boys, and I was allowed to be a fly on the wall and take some pictures. But when I first looked at the images on my computer, I just went, these are terrible. It looks like I'm taking holiday snaps. It was by pure accident that I was on the floor with my camera after listening to the U2 boys rehearse and write. And Bono was just sitting there with the picture of Dad in the background. And it was just looking up at that perspective and going, ah, that's what it's all about. My particular perspective on the situation and how that makes me feel and what it means to me. That's one of my favorite shots. It was just a snap decision to take that shot. But for me, that looks like it was set up, it was lit correctly, and this and that and the other. But again, that's another thing. I only ever use natural lighting. So I have to hope for the best half the time. And half the time, I don't really know what I've got until I get back in front of my computer screen to really look at the image. But I think sometimes not knowing gives you magic, a similarity to music, because I don't read or write music and I prefer not knowing. But I think there's magic in that, especially for writing, because you're rediscovering all the time. And the same applies for me with photography. It's just, I think that's going to work. Let's give it a shot. So I like that element of almost surprise, because I kind of surprise myself half the time with some of the stuff I come up with. I love it. That's what inspires me. That's what drives me to continue, because I'm excited to see what I'm going to shoot next, because I never know. From traveling, especially Ethiopia and Kenya and South America, we just see these scenarios and situations where governments aren't helping, people aren't helping, or they don't have enough support or finances. A good percentage of all the work that I do goes to White Feather to keep it ticking over, but I'll help out with matching certain initiatives, donation initiatives, et cetera, et cetera. But from what I witness, I just wanted to be able to help in whatever way I could with what affected me from, with what I was seeing. And, the girls' schools that we went to in Kenya, they wanted to do so much and be so much and help so much, but just didn't have the support that they needed. I mean, this is why we built a number of dormitories. They felt they were wasting time walking to and from school. And, in a lot of those circumstances, some girls would be walking anywhere between 2 and 6 hours to get to and from school. Many would be, had been murdered on the way. Many had been raped on the way. And they were temporarily using the science room as a dormitory. And also the other thing was that, they'd arrive home, they'd have to do all the chores. So they had no downtime and they had little to no sleep. That was just one that was staring me blindly in the face. Build a dormitory so the girls had somewhere to stay so that they could literally rest, be protected with security in school, can focus with what they wanted to do and what they wanted to become, which the majority were to be lawyers, who would be able to protect and fight for not only the land that they lived on, but their families, also fight for clean water, food, security, protection, and the list goes on. And so all these little projects started coming about from trips like that to Ethiopia and Kenya, but also with the indigenous as well, with the Mining tribe losing their land, trying to fight for their land, trying to help them buy back their land. I mean, there's a big court case going on right now where the Mining tribe are still trying to get their land back that they lived on for centuries. And again, there's only so much one man can do. And I'm more than thankful that there are so many people out there, fans of mine from whatever medium, that donate. You know, even if it's a dollar, it's going to help. Believe me, it's going to help. I've been fortunate in that my heroes have been everyday people I've been lucky enough to work with on many occasions. And the world around me is what teaches me more than anything else. Most important and my best teacher ever was Mum, because I watched her live through life with dignity and grace and respect and empathy, of course. For me, respect is a real key issue, not only for people, but for Mother Earth. It's key importance that we honor and respect this beautiful little blue ball that we live on. And yeah, nothing is easy and nothing is fair. But take what joy you can. And I think a lot of joy comes from helping others. I've been through moments where you don't think there's a way out and you don't think there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that's a tough place to be. And we've seen with so many creatives, especially, that they give so much of themselves. Life is exhausting, but when you're going that extra mile, it takes that much more out of you. So, you know, I think the highs are higher and the lows are lower. One of the things that I've been really focusing on is finding that balance in life, that what's real and what's true and what makes you happy. How can you help other people have a happier life? So if that's charity, if that's photography, if that's documentary, if that's music, and I can do it, then I'm going to do it. I think the most inspiring thing about AI is in the medical field. In the way that we hope to be able to find treatments and cures that did not exist before. I think that's a really good thing for us on the whole in regards to the medical field. As long as we can get our hands on what helps us, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food, because otherwise we'll be taking pills for the rest of our lives. And that's no way to go. I think the natural world offers natural medicines for all that we deal with. And I think it's been well observed that since man has been screwing around with our food and everything around us and everything we touch and feel and breathe and eat and drink, that's where all the cancers have been coming from. Hopefully, we're strong enough to realize what's truly important and look after this beautiful place. As many have said, many scientists, we're reaching a tipping point. I mean, the Earth will always survive. It's us that won't. So we're killing ourselves. That's basically what it comes down to. And it's a shame that people don't realize that. Greed is quite ugly, to say the least. We've become a little too hard and heavy on ourselves sometimes. I've certainly been in that position on a number of occasions. I guess that sort of center part of life can tend to be a bit serious because you don't know whether you're coming or going. You've just come from youth and yet now you're heading into an older period, your autumn of life or whatever. I don't know what age is. For me, you are your energy. I'm still as motivated as ever.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights.
The music in this episode was I Should Have Known, a Spike Stent version by Julian Lennon, courtesy of Julian Lennon, from the 2024 Reimagined release.
To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.
If I could say to you, and you could say to me, love is not enough to keep our devotion, 'cause time and time again you've disappeared and then you've come home to me and played my emotions. And I should have known before that you would break in this lonely room because right from the start. You showed me how to laugh, you showed me how to cry. I gave you everything.